this is John Lucas from Operations here at IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The number of U.S. service members killed and wounded in Iraq has more than doubled in the past 4 months compared with the 4 months preceding them, according to Pentagon statistics. From September 1st through Friday, 145 service members were killed in action in Iraq, compared with 65 from May 1st to August 30th. The 2 4-month intervals cover counterinsurgency operations far costlier than combat operations, which Bush declared over on May 1st. Increases in those wounded in action have been equally dramatic this fall since September 1st. 1,209 soldiers have received battlefield wounds, more than twice the 574 wounded in action from May 1st through August 30th. Democrat Dennis Kucinich says the Bush administration is using elevated terror alerts for political gain. The Ohio congressman campaigning at a library services company in central New Hampshire on Friday said if the administration officials have information about terror threats, they should act on it instead of advertising the threat to scare Americans. The government is trying to place fear everywhere, he said. The elevated terror alert level over the holidays is confusing Americans and accomplishing little, he said. Why didn't they just put extra security out, he asked. They are building up fear to become more powerful politically. Another 5 Iraqis died from injuries sustained in Saturday's suicide bomb attacks in Karbala, bringing the death toll to 18, local officials said on Sunday. The official put the number of Iraqis wounded in the attack at 160 on top of 24 coalition soldiers wounded, bringing the overall number of wounded to more than 180. On Saturday, insurgents used car bombs, mortars, and small gunfires to attack 2 coalition military bases and the city council in Karbala, dealing the first heavy blow to the 9,000-strong Polish-led multinational force deployed in central southern Iraq. It also appeared to be the first insurgent offensive that inflicted death toll on Bulgarian and Thai troops, no more than 500 both, operating in the war-torn country. More after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
A man in Sicily asked a friend to shoot him in the groin in the hope of making his ex-girlfriend feel sorry for him, police said on Friday. Police said they became suspicious when the 27-year-old went to a hospital with wounds from a hunting rifle's pellets in the groin area. At first, he said the wounds had been caused in a hunting accident, but later he admitted he had asked a friend, 16, to shoot him in an attempt to win back the affection of his girlfriend, who had apparently left him because of his violent character. The man's wounds are expected to heal, doctor said. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this six-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears home improvement centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
What I think, you couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome. Today, Tuesday, the 30th of December, day 169 in the search for the traitor in the White House. Maybe someday they'll find that. Day 323 in the search for weapons of mass destruction, David Kaye has now packed it in and said no thanks. Day 809 in the search for the anthrax killer, who, in my opinion, brought us the Patriot Act, which makes it very, very strange. Some interesting news today. The FBI urges police to watch for people carrying almanacs. People carrying almanacs. You know, it reminds me in some ways. There's an old song. In fact, here this is the. Those of you who are old enough to remember "Never Say Never Again," it's.
I'll never say never again.
Cause here I am in love again. Yes. Okay. The FBI is warning police nationwide to be on the alert for people carrying almanacs, cautioning that the popular reference books covering everything from abbreviations to weather trends could be used for terrorist planning. This is the latest variation on the sort of Operation Tips thing. Turn in your friends and neighbors. Now, the reason I'm playing this music in the background is that during World War II, this was being regularly played in England. It was beamed to them from Germany, a country where people were being encouraged to call in and report suspicious neighbors, and they were denounced on the radio stations.
A new version sent to us by a disillusioned Englishman.
Yeah.
We'll never say never again. Cause here we are at war again.
Here we are at war.
Up to our necks in war again with you. We'll never say never fight wars again. Cause here we are at war again. It's just a thing that Churchill made us do.
Oh, Churchill made us do it. Yes, indeed.
We thought to war we'd say goodbye. Cause war ain't fun and that's no lie. We like to live and we hate to die. But it's all up now and that too is no lie. We'll never...
Yeah, this was a government that was brought to power by the terrorist act of the burning of the Reichstag Gebüge on February 27th, 33, was it? I believe. And Adolf Hitler stood in front of that building as it was burning and said, "This marks a moment in history. This is a sign from God. This act of terrorism will not stand." And it was certainly a turning point in the history of that country. It had brought him to power. And everything from that point forward was about the terrorist threat, which then morphed itself into the Jewish terrorist threat in Germany. So far here, it seems to be the Muslim terrorist threat. But now the FBI wants you to call them if you see anybody carrying a World Almanac. And Karen Seabrook, the editor of the World Almanac, says, "I don't think anyone would consider us a harmful entity." But apparently the folks at the Department of Homeland Security do. So our government says if you see somebody carrying an almanac, call the FBI. In other news, U.S. News and World Report, did you know that they feed dead cats to cows? This, this is enough to make a vegetarian out of anyone. And that's sort of the tip of the iceberg, or the bottom of the iceberg, I guess. Agriculture experts say a slew of new and questionable methods of fattening cattle are being employed by farmers. It really should say are being employed by huge multinational corporations where economy of scale, where the ability to squeeze an extra penny out of an operation amplified over hundreds of thousands of operations all across the country will increase profits. See, this gets to the question that I have for this hour, which is how can America recover a healthy economy? How can we get back our economy? What's the purpose of trade? Well, how do tariffs work? What defines the wealth of a nation? We have made this. I started on this yesterday. I just mentioned it. We have made this incredible and horrific transition in the United States since the Reagan Revolution to today, a transition that Dwight Eisenhower warned us about, specifically with regard to the military-industrial complex, but we're seeing it now right across the board, that we fought World War II against, which is governmental power combining with economic power. When the founders were just so explicit about this, that if religious power reached up and tried to grab political power, it would be stopped. There would be a wall of separation between church and state. Religious power in the United States would never have political power. It's why James Madison vetoed as president, vetoed a bill that would have used federal money to support the poor through the churches. He said it was an unwarranted intrusion and set a dangerous precedent for the United States. And, of course, that was the standard up until basically the Bush administration. George Bush got in bed with, it's big government and big religion. Jerry Falwell with his multi-million-dollar empires and Pat Robertson with his billion-dollar empire. And they're all now sucking down your and my tax dollars. And no doubt Reverend Moon has got his hand in that pot as well with his Washington Times and his UPI and the darling of the Republicans, the man who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, come here to finish Jesus' work. Anyhow, they said religion cannot seize political power. They said warlords cannot seize political power, so the president cannot have the power to declare war and turn a nation on its head. And they said that economic forces, Jefferson cannot seize political power. Jefferson, in one of his letters to Adams, talked about the danger to democracy of excessive wealth. Can you think of the name of one dynasty, one endowed foundation like the Carnegie Foundation or the Ford Foundation, one dynasty, U.S. Steel, USX now, that is left over from before the Civil War? You cannot. There are none. from the founding of this country until Abraham Lincoln started suspending the rules that restrained corporations. We had in this country thousands of laws, most of them state laws, because corporations are incorporated at the state level, that kept companies from getting so big that they could intrude into politics, or that prevented large companies from involving themselves in politics. In addition, up until the 1880s, in most states, a corporation could only exist for 40 years, and then it had to dissolve and reincorporate. And the reason for that, and pay taxes on itself when it had dissolved, just like when people died, they had to pay inheritance taxes. And the whole reason for that, and Teddy Roosevelt really laid this out well. Read any of the biographies of Teddy Roosevelt. He was so clear about this. And Jefferson as well. Read Jefferson's collected letters. The reason for this was that these guys had seen the landed gentry. They had seen the aristocratic families of Europe, the kings and kingdoms, the nobles and the nobility, that prevented social and economic mobility within a society. And they saw that one of the major things that caused that was the ability to move dynasties from generation to generation. Nobody was saying that you shouldn't be able to will to your children enough for them to live on. Nobody was saying you should not be able to will to your children, you know, $1 million or a few million dollars, enough to live incredibly well. But I guarantee you Thomas Jefferson would have agreed with Bill Gates' father, who has written a book about this and is out going around the country campaigning, saying we must have an inheritance tax that prevents family dynasties from seizing the kind of power that they have in the United States since the Gilded Age. All of the ones that we have in this country date back to the 1890s, because that's when the laws started to change. People think it's about economics. Economics exists on the substrate of government. There is a foundation to every economic activity, and that foundation is the rule of law, and the rule of law is defined by government. We the people, we who own the government, we define the rules by which the game of business is played. So, and back to agriculture. Here we have, and this is not, you know, my wife's grandmother just died recently. She was 95 years old. She grew up on a farm in Michigan. And in fact, it was just, I don't know, 2 decades ago or so that she sold the farm. And throughout the Great Depression, all she had to buy was sugar and salt. That was it. I mean, they were completely self-sufficient, and they never would have thought of feeding their cows dead cats. Cows are herbivores. Cows' digestive systems are not designed to eat anything except plants. They don't have the teeth to cut flesh. You know, it's just... But giant corporations seeking to squeeze an extra penny or two out. Well, here we go. To trim costs, they're adding a variety of waste substances. This is from U.S. News and World Report. Adding a variety of waste substances to their livestock and poultry feed, and no one is making sure they are doing so safely. Chicken manure in particular, which costs $15 to $45 a ton in comparison to $125 a ton for alfalfa, is increasingly used as feed by cattle farmers, despite possible health risks to consumers. In regions with large poultry operations, such as California, the South, and the Mid-Atlantic, more and more farmers are turning to chicken manure as a cheap alternative to grains and hay. They go on to point out that health officials are not enthusiastic. Chicken manure often contains Campylobacter and Salmonella bacteria, as well as intestinal parasites, veterinary drug residues, and toxic heavy metals such as arsenic, lead, cadmium, and mercury. These bacteria and toxins are passed on to the cattle and can be cycled to humans who eat beef. And in fact, look at the numbers. The CDC says in any given year, 80 million cases of foodborne illness in the United States, 9,000 deaths, three times as many as in 9/11. Salmonella, for example, 4 million cases, 1,000 fatalities. Campylobacter, which causes acute gastroenteritis. It's like, you know, violent diarrhea. It afflicts between 4 and 6 million people annually, killing about 100. E. coli, 250 fatalities, 20,000 people sick every year. Some 40 billion pounds a year of slaughterhouse waste like bone, blood, viscera, as well as the remains of millions of euthanized cats and dogs passed along by veterinarians and animal shelters are rendered annually into livestock feed. Have we gone nuts? This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense and the Radical Middle. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, your Mac dealer, 1-800-511-MACS, M-A-C-S, 1-800-511-MACS, for all things Macintosh. And the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890, I want to get into this. The Sherman Antitrust Act, what's going on, why people are losing their jobless, their job benefits, what the government is doing to the, how the U.S. economy grew it in the third quarter at even faster. Why aren't we making more money? Why aren't there more jobs? What is going on here, and what can be done about it? And the fact that euthanized dogs and cats, you know, where you take them to the Humane Society, they go out and they catch the wild ones, and it's not just dogs and cats, it's also possums and skunks and everything else that they catch, and they end up at the Humane Society, and they stick them in those things where they put the vacuum in or the carbon dioxide and kill them off, that they're shoveling those things. I used to think that they had a graveyard out behind the Humane Society where they buried them, you know, and I remember at one point when I was a little kid thinking, you know, it must get bigger and bigger and bigger. No, what they do is they send them off to grind them up and feed them to cattle. It's bizarre, but it's a symptom. This is just a symptom of a larger problem, and the larger problem is that the profit motive has so run amok that corporations are behaving in ways that are putting our health at risk. You know, you get mad cow disease from eating cows that have eaten other cows or other animals. And there's this whole thing about, you know, is this Alzheimer's epidemic that we're having in the United States really Alzheimer's? Nobody knows because they don't do autopsies generally. There was an interesting study out of Pennsylvania on that a few years ago. And then there's that guy in Utah who ate an elk and he got, you know, Creutzfeldt-Jacobs. And these are, they're starting to creep out. But the big problem behind it all is the corporatization, the profitization of entire industries. I want to get into the medical industry in the third hour of our program. And in our second hour, how has our refusal since Reagan to move from oil to renewables made us and the world less safe? You know, keep in mind, Osama bin Laden's complaint when he declared war on us was that since the 1991 Gulf War, we had soldiers stationed in Saudi Arabia defiling the Holy Land. Just as a beginning point. Let me just dangle that out for you. We'll come back to that in the next hour. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's on the line. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good afternoon, Tom. I've got something I believe that you will love, and it'll play right into what you're going to be talking about. I was listening to C-SPAN this morning, and then afterwards listening to National Press Club. And they had a fellow, and I think you know him, Russell Mokaber.
Yeah.
Okay, he has a...
he called for the death penalty for corporations this morning.
Yeah, corporatecrimereporter.com. And he released a newsletter that he reviewed this morning at the National Press Club of the 100 top violators bilking the government out of billions of dollars. And
oddly, that was the next story I was going to read.
Well,
Jim,
anyway,
you read my mind.
Your listeners may be interested in this. My wife is downloading that right now. And the number one violator is by our wonderful senator from Tennessee and Columbia HCA. The most flagrant violator in the nation is running this country up here.
Bill Frist. Bill Frist is HCA?
Yes, Columbia HCA.
Incredible. Okay, I thought that was the case. I didn't have it in. Yes. I'll read this report when we come back from the break. Jim, thanks for bringing it up. This is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. Sarah in Santa Fe, hold on the line. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Bill Vellner, Chief Engineer for the IE America Radio Network, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
When will a plant become a weed or an animal turn into a pest? There are no obvious answers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Controlling invasive plants and animals costs the United States billions of dollars each year. Many of these species were intentionally imported and have run wild, damaging ecosystems, agriculture, and business. Government regulators and importers want a checklist of traits that make a species harmful, but University of Tennessee biologist Daniel Simberloff says it's not that simple.
The industries that like to bring in introduced species, like the horticulture trade, parts of agriculture, the pet trade, and the federal regulatory agencies that deal with these, USDA and now Department of Homeland Security and some others, would like to have these cut and dried rules, a checklist. The species has the following traits, A, B, C, and D. We don't let it in. Anything else, we do let in. So they would like these very simple discriminatory tools in order to make their decisions. But unfortunately, the science shows that this approach will not be very good.
Simberloff says problem species are hard to predict. For example, one type of imported pine tree can spread and crowd out indigenous trees in a forest, while another imported pine might not be able to compete with native varieties or conditions. And Simberloff says introduced species can have different impacts under different circumstances. Ecosystems that are greatly disturbed, like farmlands, are more prone to invasive species. However, even pristine forests can be invaded by non-native plants and animals. Simberloff says the proposed import of any new plant or animal must be studied and regulated on a case-by-case basis. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll shoot it up the sky that 4th of July by the time that the firemen come. They just put out the flames and took down some names. Send me to the county home. But maybe it's the only way. Talk about your revolution. It's Independence Day.
Welcome back to the Real Free Speech Zone. This is Tom Hartman, talk radio for the rest of us. Brought to you by the Newsletter Factory, newsletterfactory.com. Down in Atlanta, Georgia. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Sarah in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi, Tom. Just a couple of real quick things. I heard early this morning on CNN, but haven't heard it since. You know, I guess the censors hadn't got hold of it yet, that there could be as many as 70 to 80 more mad cows that have been released into the food supply across the country. They didn't say when or whatever. They just mentioned this figure of between 70 and 80. And then I didn't hear it on any other news broadcast. The second thing is, I've heard from a couple of sources that about 25% or a quarter of all of the Alzheimer's diagnoses are actually mad cow. And there are some studies, I guess they've actually appeared in medical journals because
I wrote an article about this about 2 years ago, which I believe is still posted on my website, where there was, I believe it was the University of Pennsylvania. I'll have to go back and dig it out. I'll get it for you tomorrow. But there was a study that was done by one of the institutions in Pennsylvania. I believe it was the State University, where they actually did, they took a random sample of people who had gone through the morgues with Alzheimer's diagnoses, who had died of Alzheimer's, and did autopsies and found that some significant percentage of them, and I forget the number, it's been a couple of years, but it was let's say more than 10%, less than 30, as I recall. Actually had Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease rather than Alzheimer's disease. And Creutzfeldt-Jakob's, of course, is a disease that in humans in the past has only been known to occur in cannibal populations because it's basically, a prion disease, that is these folded up, twisted, bizarre proteins that are contagious even though they're not alive. And it appears that they didn't draw the conclusion that people got these from cows, but you could pretty much not fail to draw that conclusion. They just, they're in 14 states right now. There are these veggie libel laws that make it a crime to libel the food supply. So there are limits to what CNN can say, to what I can say. To the things that can be said about these topics, we have to be very, very careful that it
is
just the facts.
That's probably why they pulled that 70 to 80 cattle off the news. They did have it early this morning on CNN, the radio news, CNN, your KTRC news.
Yep. Yeah.
And the other thing is, I just want to say, this is the price we're paying for losing local control of our food supply. It's all about local control.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate the call, and I agree with you. I mean, remember during the Reagan administration when Willie Nelson was going around doing Farm Aid and singing to bring the farmers back and help save them from their bankruptcies? Well, it wasn't that there was some Great Depression going on in America or whatever. What it was that Ronald Reagan suspended enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act. The Sherman Act of 1890. Introduced in 1890 by Senator Sherman. It was Senate Bill Number 1, and it was passed in December of 1890. Every person who shall monopolize or attempt to monopolize or combine or conspire with any other person or persons to monopolize any part of the trade or commerce among the several states shall be deemed guilty of a felony, shall be punished by imprisonment not exceeding 3 years. I've abbreviated out some of the whereas and therefores, but that's the essence of the Sherman Antitrust Act. And Reagan put an end to it. And that was the end of the family farm. We have, a half a dozen very large multinational corporations who are sucking down billions of tax dollars in corporate welfare. And the corporate welfare that we pay to corporations every year in the United States makes human welfare it's more than double all payments to humans. Jerry in South Carolina is on the line. Hey, Jerry, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, what's up?
Questions for you on this thing about grinding up dogs and cats. Where does that information come from?
I am reading that from an article in U.S. News and World Report dated September 1st, 1997. It's been out there for a while. This is not new or dramatic. It's an article called The Next Bad Beef Scandal, as subtitled, Cattle Feed Now Contains Things Like Manure and Dead Cats, written by Michael Satchel, S-A-T-C-H-E-L-L, and Stephen J. Hedges. And I am guessing that my producer probably found it on a link off BuzzFlash.com, but that's just a guess.
Well, the reason I'm questioning it is not because I doubt you, because I'm a big fan of your program, but I've been in the animal feed industry for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea it's not that the idea is contemptible, which it is, but the idea of, you know, the animal feed industry deals in such huge volumes of things. And to think that there's, you know, these little animal shelters, you know, spread all over the country are gathering up dead animals and hauling them to an ingredient processing plant somewhere is so uneconomical, it's silly.
Well, here, Roger Hostenbach, former president of the Association of American Feed Control Officials, which sets standards for the animal feed industry, estimates that this occurs to some degree in half to three-quarters of the states in the United States.
He says
waste products are rarely shipped over long distances because transportation costs wipe out the savings cheaper materials.
And that's the point. If I had 5 tons of corn, I couldn't sell it to a large beef operation. Because it's such a small amount of weight.
Right.
I mean, I would have to find some little local feed mill to sell it to.
They're saying here that the total quantity of euthanized cats and dogs and slaughterhouse waste, blood, bone, viscera, totals 40 billion pounds a year in the United States that are fed to herbivores like cows.
And that comes from dogs and cats.
Well, not all 40 billion pounds of it. I'm guessing that probably the vast majority of it comes from other cows and pigs and other things like that. But, yeah, it's right there. You can check it out in U.S. News and World Report.
You said U.S. News and World Report.
U.S. News and World Report, September 1, 1997.
Thank you. Like I said,
I think you'll find the link to it off BuzzFlash.com. If not, tell you what, Jerry, if you go to TomHartmann.com, our website, where you can find the link to our chat room, where there's a whole bunch of great folks already talking about this stuff, you'll also find a link to our message board. And I'll post to the message board when I get off the air the link to the story so you can easily find it.
Okay, thank you.
It's just one link away from TomHartmann.com. Thanks for calling, Jerry. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Has corporate America run amok? Are they destroying our health care? We'll get into that in our third hour. Are they destroying our jobs? Which, I've got a pile of information here to get to. And are they possibly endangering our health? Even worse than has already been happening here. Joe in Grand Rapids, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, how are you today?
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Great.
Listen, I was listening earlier in this half hour, or the last half hour, I should say, you mentioned that we have someone that says he's the reincarnation of Christ and he's here to finish his work. Who is
that? Yeah, Reverend Moon.
Oh, Moon, okay.
He owns the only newspaper that George W. Bush will read,
yeah.
The Washington Times.
It's Moon, though, huh?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. He also bailed out Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell was near bankruptcy a couple of years ago, and Moon bailed him out. And it's a very bizarre story about the relationship between Moon and the Republicans and the Christian right. A very strange story. Joe, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Vin in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Vin, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. And thanks for beating the drum about corporate America, as you do in your book. And the Sherman Antitrust Act has been stomped on, obviously, and ignored for many years now, as you point out.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy Carter was the last one to pay attention to it when he broke up AT&T. And it was a better thing for consumers, and it was a better thing for the stockholders of AT&T stock. When it got broken up into smaller companies, they were more profitable, they were more efficient.
Well, it's efficiency, really, and corporations don't have, you know, they aren't accountable in terms of efficiency these days.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out one thing that I think everyone should know, and I know we can't go into this too deeply, but making a diagnosis from a pathological specimen of Alzheimer's versus Creutzfeldt-Jakob is quite easy. Any pathological technician can apply an antibody test that will distinguish prion protein, you know, in Creutzfeldt-Jakob from neurofibrillary tangles and senile dementia plaques of Alzheimer's. So you need
right.
a simple section
but it's not
of
done.
The brain.
But it's just not done, Vin.
It's
I mean, that's
not
the
done,
problem.
But it can be done. It's not that expensive, and it's easy for a tech to do. That's what people need to understand. It could be done quite readily.
if we're
I'm just wondering why it is just not done in the United States. And I would suggest, you know, if anybody listening has a relative who is near death from Alzheimer's, God forbid, but it happens, that they might seek to get an autopsy of that type, of the, because I suspect that if enough were investigated, it may blow the lid off something, or it may not. It'll put a lot, you know, it may cause a lot of people to breathe more easily. But we've seen just an explosion in Alzheimer's in the United States in the last 15 and 20 years, and I would say that the explosion of Alzheimer's and the explosion of obesity both track back to corporate agricultural practices. And I think it's a problem in both cases. This was Pete in Illinois that we had right here, right? Okay. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Steve in California is on the line. Hey, Steve, what city are you in?
I'm in Arcata, California, Humboldt County.
Beautiful place.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I just turned on just a couple minutes ago and heard you talking about the 97 article, U.S. News and World Report. It used to be that farm animals in particular that died were rendered down and included in cattle feed, etc. And that hasn't been done in some years now because of the concern over
mad cow disease.
Mad cow disease.
And right. Although last night on NPR, they had on a woman who. I thought I had her name right there. Anyhow, they had a woman on who I will get the information right after this break. Who was saying, yes, that's the law, but there is virtually no enforcement. Back to you, Steve.
Yeah. Our local rendering plant has been out of business for several years, which mm-hmm. has caused some problems for local farmers. Well, what do you do with a dead cow? You have to get some heavy machinery and bury it. But supposedly, yes, none of that is being done anymore. Now, the prions are still a hypothesis. They don't know for sure that that these things actually cause the problem. The gentleman who has formed that hypothesis won a Pulitzer Prize a couple or 3 years ago for his work, but he immediately cautioned that it was not evidence that he was right.
Now the other point that this article made, and I have another one that's a little more contemporary that gets into this stuff too, is that chicken manure is being fed to cattle. I'm assuming that is still allowed under the new law.
I do not know. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. Well, we'll track it down. I'll get you some more updated information as time goes on here. Pete, thank you very much for the call. Or Steve, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's about 12 minutes before the hour, and Armin is on the line in California. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, Armin. Hey, what's up?
Thank you. You're talking about corporate welfare. I was reading this last night as I was going through some of my notes from newspaper clippings and articles. Mm-hmm. And this is from the Weekly, February 27th to March 5th, 2002, and it's in locally in Sarasota, Florida. It's a little throwaway paper.
Yeah.
And it says, news of the weird. It's really interesting. It says, why does this always happen? It says, the federal farm subsidy program, renewed consistently since 1933 as help for the struggling family farmer, was revealed in January to allocate 73% of its subsidies to just 10% of the farmers, almost all of whom are well off, according to a government data published by an environmental working group. For example, a man who owns a tractor dealership, among other businesses, and who lives in a 13,000-square-foot mansion in Elaine, Arkansas, has collected $38 million in subsidies since 1996.
Yeah, yeah. This is what we have now is, and Armin, thank you for that call. I appreciate it. What we have now is crony capitalism in Washington, D.C. Democracy is being so rapidly eclipsed by corporate influence. And let us hope that the practice that I opened this show with from the this six-year-old story in U.S. News and World Report about, you know, 80 tons of stuff rendering into cattle feed is entirely gone. Let us hope that it's entirely gone. And then it raises the question, well, what about the chicken manure? What about the human sludge that actually is being experimented with as food for these things? All these strange variations. Russell Mokaber, death penalty should be applied to corporations that defraud the government. I'll give you the tip on that when we come back from this break. It's in the CorporateCrimeReporter.com. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the real free speech zone. Stay tuned.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week, I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes,
if you try sometimes, you get what you need. Yes, indeed. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Consumer Federation of America and Veneman, our USDA secretary, has made the announcement about the mad cow. And here on the consumerfed.org website, had the Bush administration not blocked an amendment to the annual agriculture spending bill earlier this year, meat from the infected cow would never have been processed for food. Interesting one. In fact, I have a list here someplace of the specific actions that this administration has taken over the last year. The last 3 years, to specifically slow down government regulation of health in our food supply. The bottom line here is that we have gone from having government of, by, and for we the people into having government of, by, and for very large corporations, not even for small businesses and medium-sized businesses. America has traditionally been built by small and medium-sized businesses. They have been the engine that has driven America. And yet the upshot of it now has been that the large corporations are engaging in grossly anti-competitive practices. Big box retailers moving into town, and then once they wipe out the competition, cranking the prices very slowly up so that nobody notices until it reaches the point where nobody can compete. And in the retail sector, the same thing in agriculture, wiping out the family farms, and it's putting us in an economically dangerous position, as well as potentially health dangers that come along with it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Integrity and passion in broadcasting truth.
From those ads in Tiananmen Square, it's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder,
you've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program. Take 48. Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Bush administration faced growing pressure on Monday to roll out stricter regulations to prevent another case of mad cow disease as officials tried to convince Japan and other major buyers to resume buying billions of dollars worth of U.S. beef. White House officials were worried about both the political fallout and the economic impact the disease could have at a time when the U.S. economy is showing signs of strength. The White House was looking at various regulatory options, but was wary of taking a dramatic step too quickly, an administration official said. Democratic presidential hopeful Wesley Clark's new television commercial includes a clip of him and Bill Clinton. It's the first ad of the 2004 campaign to include an image of the former president, arguably America's most popular Democrat. The clip is only a few seconds long and shows Clinton walking from a podium at the White House to place the Presidential Medal of Freedom over Clark's head, honoring his fellow Arkansan for his work in Kosovo as NATO's Supreme Allied Commander. Campaign advisors say the ad is meant to illustrate that Clark would be the kind of leader who not only has seen ordinary people do extraordinary things in their lifetimes, but who has been honored for such accomplishments. A car exploded in the Saudi capital of Riyadh on Monday night, witnesses said. There were no immediate reports of casualties. The Dubai-based Al Arabiya satellite channel said the explosion occurred under a car owned by a police officer who had parked outside a mosque. The blast destroyed the car and shattered windows in nearby buildings, Al Arabiya's correspondent in Riyadh reported. Cyber blackmail artists are shaking down office workers, threatening to delete computer files or install pornographic images on their work PCs unless they pay a ransom, according to police and security experts in the UK. The extortion scam, which is believed to have surfaced 1 year ago, indiscriminately targets anyone on the corporate ladder with a PC connected to the Internet. Blackmailers typically demand that unless a small fee is paid, they will attack the PC with a file wiping program or download onto the machine images of child pornography. More news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Animal control officers are looking for the owner of a dog who rode a commuter train from Greenwich to Harlem on Christmas Eve. The trouble is, officials are unsure whether the dog's holiday trip began in Greenwich or somewhere farther up the Metro North line, which runs as far north as Waterbury. Officials will run an advertisement in the Times this week looking for the owner. After a week, the dog will be put up for adoption. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears Home Improvement Centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. And special greetings to our new listeners in WTKG, our latest affiliate in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the city where I was born. Pleased to be on the air there. On June 13th, 2001, the House Appropriations Committee voted down an amendment by U.S. Representative Rosa DiLorenzo, a Democrat of Connecticut, that would have provided an additional $50 million for the Food Safety and Inspection Service to increase the inspection of meat. The amendment was voted down by conservatives. What's more important? Tax cuts for the rich. An amendment by U.S. Representative Marcy Kaptur, Democrat of Ohio, in May of 2002 would have provided $35 million, quote, for the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service to increase protections against foot and mouth and mad cow disease, end quote. At the time, Representative Kaptur said it was a, quote, miracle the United States had not suffered an outbreak given the problems this year in Europe, end quote. However, conservative Republican from Texas, Harry Bonilla, who was the subcommittee chairman for the Agricultural Appropriations Subcommittee, said, there's no need for that amendment, quote, end quote. And You know, what's more important is to get these tax cuts going. Yeah, we got to get some tax cuts here. You know, an aggressive program of tax cuts. Yes, it'll do it.
With a robust package of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief, we will help create more than 1 million new jobs.
Yeah, $550,000 per job. We're going to make some jobs here. Hey, give $550,000 per... Well, but unfortunately, the jobs haven't materialized. So far, we've produced 57,000. But nonetheless, that was more important to Congressman Bonilla of Texas than was the safety of our food supply. And Congressman Obie, this from a Washington Times editorial of all places, in his bill of particulars, Mr. Obie claims that the administration is standing in the way of hundreds of millions of dollars in added spending, including $239 million, to cover expanded FDA inspections of imported food. At present, the United States inspects less than 2% of all imported food. Mr. Obie contends that the extra money would increase the total to 10%. And but it's being largely ignored. So here we have, I want to carry on with this. I just want to get into this issue of the economy because we really, you know, we got off on this mad cow tangent, and it was a bit of a tangent. And time will tell. I mean, you know, time will tell what's going to happen. You know, fortunately, the rendering practices of the past are now illegal. Unfortunately, the enforcement is not there. Fortunately, in all probability, most of industry is going along with it. We'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out. But the issue of corporate governance is, you know, I started out using that as just to illustrate this point, and I think this becomes a much larger point. 56, the Corporate Crime Reporter, 56 of the top 100 false claims settlements. Now, a false claim settlement is where a corporation says to the government, you owe us money. You know, they bill the government for something that was false. That they, you know, for a service that they didn't provide, for a product that they didn't provide. In other words, fraud. A crime, I mean, you know, we in the United States have the highest prison population in the world, both as a percentage of, on a per capita basis, and in absolute numbers. We have more people in prison. Back when the USSR was still around, we competed with them for on a per capita basis, and for a while at the height of the apartheid wars, South Africa almost had as many people in prison on a per capita basis as we do. But we've topped the pile. And it has become a very profitable pile. Now we have a number of very large corporations who are huge donors to political candidates, particularly to the Republican Party, who have gotten into the act and are building private prisons. It's one of the largest growth industries in America now. We got all these people in jail, and the vast majority of them are there for nonviolent crimes. Most of the, you know, we have millions in jail for smoking pot, possession of drugs, petty crime. So here we have, and for theft, for stealing things. Now here we have huge corporations that have been convicted of stealing not just, you know, candy bar from the supermarket, or, you know, stealing a car or something, but we're talking about ripping off, in some cases, millions to hundreds of millions of dollars in your tax dollars and mine. 56 of the top 100 false settlements were with healthcare corporations. By settlement is a fancy word for saying the corporation has to pay back the government the money that they stole from you and me. And 23 of them were defense contractors. 8 of the top 10 settlements involved criminal plea agreements by the companies. In other words, they pled guilty to felonies. The amount of money that was recovered just with the top 100 corporate criminals in the last year, according to the Corporate Crime Reporter, the amount of money that was recovered. Now, keep in mind, there's all that theft out there that we don't even know about. I mean, they're still arguing about whether Halliburton, you know, how extensively Halliburton has screwed us with regard to the gasoline and the lousy food that they're serving to our soldiers. But just the top 100 recoveries, where people admitted they did wrong, corporations admitted that they did wrong, and paid back the government, $8.2 billion. Now, can you tell me one human being, one individual, who, if they stole $1 billion and confessed to a felony involving that, or $100 million, let's say, hey, you know, wouldn't end up in jail? So Russell Mulcahy is saying these corporations should get the death penalty, which was a very common thing prior to the Civil War. Very common. Basically, you simply say, hey, this company is being run as a criminal enterprise. They're breaking the law. They can't exist anymore. Shut them down. And it's not a disaster to the economy, because when one company, I mean, you know, this is the wonders of free enterprise, right? You put a company out of business. If they were providing a product or a service that people want, you know, half a dozen small companies will immediately appear to fill that gap. It actually helps the economy. The only problem is these guys have our politicians in their back pocket. Here's the ultimate irony. The U.S. economy grew in the third quarter. This is from CNN's Money Line. The U.S. economy grew in the third quarter at an even faster pace than originally reported. Gross domestic product, the broadest measure of economic activity, grew at an 8.2% annual rate, the fastest pace since the first quarter of 1984. And what does that mean? Interesting overview of this on December 21st, the New York Times, by Louis Uchitel, a recovery for profits but not for workers. He says output is clearly rising, and normally that would feed into both corporate profits and labor income. And it did, you know, from the 1930s right up until basically until Reagan came into office, when corporations became more profitable, workers got higher paychecks, and higher in real dollars. We actually got wealthier year after year after year from the 30s up until the end of the 1970s. And then something happened. Reagan went in and busted up Patco. The conservatives took power, and they declared war on labor. And they said, cheap labor is our mantra. Cheap labor is what it's all about. Cheap labor will save the corporate fat cats and those who make their living sitting by the pool waiting for their dividend check to arrive so that they don't have to pay payroll taxes at all, and they only have to pay a maximum of 15% capital gains tax or dividends tax. Well, dividends are not taxed at all now, as I recall. 15% capital gains. Output is clearly rising. And normally that would feed into both corporate profits and labor income, but while profits have shot up as a percentage of national income, reaching their highest levels since the mid-1960s, labor's share is shrinking, says Uchitel. Not since World War II has the distribution been so lopsided in the aftermath of a recession. Just look at this. Dean Baker, an economist at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, says, we have never seen in the 40 years that we have been doing our hourly wage survey wage growth that has been this slow. And, you know, it's a problem for the nation, because if people don't get paid, well, they don't have money to buy things. And if they don't buy things, what's going to happen to the economy? I mean, look at these numbers. Pre-tax profits skyrocketed in the third quarter. This is from this New York Times article. Pre-tax profits skyrocketed in their third quarter to nearly 30% of national income. 30% of national income. Now, at the same time, labor costs went up less than 1%. 30% corporate profits, labor less than a percent, and that includes, when they look at labor costs, they include the cost of health insurance, the cost of pensions, exercise stock options. They count all that stuff as labor income. And so we know that health insurance has been going up faster than inflation. It's been going up 7, 8, 10, 12, 14% per year, depending on what part of the country and which sector of the economy you're talking about. And so it must be that actual pay, take-home pay, has been declining, which might have something to do with why pre-tax profits skyrocketed to nearly 30% of national income. So what are consumers doing? They're going to their mortgages and tapping them out. They're using these little tiny tax rebates they got, and they're borrowing at high interest rates. In January, nearly 400,000 workers are expected to exhaust their state benefits. Not only are people out of work, those who are working are making less. Those who are not working are now going to lose their unemployment benefits, thanks to the Republican Congress. Interesting story. We'll tell you all about it right after this. Stay tuned.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Bosses of the world unite, let us save the day. Malcontents without 5 cents want us to cut our pay. We only make 500 times as much as our average worker drones. We work just as hard and we too sometimes need to paint our homes. The pressures are incredible and no one seems to care. We moved our plants to Haiti and now we have to move from there. They're clamoring for more than a dollar a day from Malaysia to Mexico. At that rate, pretty soon there'll be no place for us to go.
Oh, yes, bosses of the world unite. 2.1 million people in the first 6 months of this coming year, 2.1 million people will lose their jobless benefits. We are seeing an explosion in America of poverty and homelessness, which is absolutely unprecedented. Well, actually, it is with precedent. It was the Great Depression. We have more people declaring bankruptcy in absolute numbers right now than we had during the Great Depression, for example. Hunger and homelessness, this according to the Associated Press, increased in many of America's largest cities this year with growing demand for emergency food supplies for families with children, the elderly, and even people with jobs, according to a survey by U.S. mayors. Are the 2003 Bush tax cuts creating jobs? Well, the 2001 Bush tax cut didn't create any jobs. It lost us about 1 million. The 2002 tax cut didn't create any jobs. It lost us another 1 million. The 2003 tax cut, so far they claim that it has created 57,000 jobs. Maybe. You know, maybe it could be that we've spent $150 billion in Iraq, and most of that was stuff that was made here, bombs and missiles and whatnot, that we took over there and we dropped on them. And now we have to build more of it. So we've got this boom going on in our munitions industries. And in the companies that, among the corporations who make armor, body armor for the soldiers and who make uniforms. And I mean, you know, war is very profitable. I would suggest to you that we're probably seeing more of a bounce from Bush's war against Iraq than we are seeing from the tax cuts, frankly. Time will tell, of course. But right now, you know, Bush is 249,000 jobs short this month of his projections, and has been every month. And the consequences of this are not insignificant. This is an article from the BBC. More suicides under conservative rule. Australian scientists found the suicide rate in the country increased significantly when a conservative government was in power. The Australian team analyzed suicide statistics from New South Wales. That's the part of Australia where Sydney is located. Between 1901 and when the federal government was established and 1998. And then they looked at all the different regimes and they filtered out. The researchers took into account periods of drought in World War II because of their economic and psychological impact. But after adjusting for these factors, the figures clearly showed the highest rates of suicide occurred when both conservative state and federal governments were in power. Conversely, the lowest rates occurred when state and federal governments were both Labor or Liberal. Middle-aged and older people were the most at risk for suicide under conservative governments. Rates have been lower under Labour governments and soared under the last conservative. And then they say the same thing happened in Great Britain. One of a series of accompanying editorials, Dr. Mary Shaw and colleagues from the University of Bristol say the same patterns were evident in England and Wales. Suicide rates were lower under Labour or Liberal governments and soared under the first conservative regime, which began in 1979 under Margaret Thatcher. Overall, the figures suggest 35,000 people would not have died had the conservatives not been in power. So let's look at the mechanism of that when we come back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned for more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Mike Malloy.
And this is Kathy Bay.
And on behalf of everyone here at IE America Radio, we want to wish you a happy holiday season.
And a peaceful new year.
When will a plant become a weed or an animal turn into a pest? There are no obvious answers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Controlling invasive plants and animals costs the United States billions of dollars each year. Many of these species were intentionally imported and have run wild, damaging ecosystems, agriculture, and business. Government regulators and importers want a checklist of traits that make a species harmful, but University of Tennessee biologist Daniel Simberloff says it's not that simple.
The industries that like to bring in introduced species, like the horticulture trade, parts of agriculture, the pet trade, and the federal regulatory agencies that deal with these, USDA and now Department of Homeland Security and some others, would like to have these cut and dried rules, a checklist. The species has the following traits, A, B, C, and D. We don't let it in. Anything else, we do let in. So they would like these very simple discriminatory tools in order to make their decisions. But unfortunately, the science shows that this approach will not be very good.
Simberloff says problem species are hard to predict. For example, one type of imported pine tree can spread and crowd out indigenous trees in a forest, while another imported pine might not be able to compete with native varieties or conditions. And Simberloff says introduced species can have different impacts under different circumstances. Ecosystems that are greatly disturbed, like farmlands, are more prone to invasive species. However, even pristine forests can be invaded by non-native plants and animals. Simberloff says the proposed import of any new plant or animal must be studied and regulated on a case-by-case basis. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Dan Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Is that David in Santa Fe now?
My life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think. give me things that don't get tossed, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
And welcome back. Exposing the Con and Conservative. This is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. And can you imagine if whenever you were doing business with somebody and you screwed up somehow, say you really injured somebody or you really hurt somebody, and the people you were doing business with said, well, no problem, we will pay for your legal bills. We'll take care of it for you. Get this, the Energy Department, that's a euphemism for the Department of the United States government that doesn't have much to do with energy but makes bombs, it makes atomic bombs, deals mostly with defense contractors, spent $330 million in taxpayer money to reimburse its private contractors for their legal bills. A key congressman said, Representative Edward Markey of Massachusetts said the reimbursements amount to a get-out-of-court-free card for defense contractors who engage in wrongdoing, 814 cases involving workers' compensation. Companies being, you know, sued by workers on workman's comp, and who pays the bill to defend the corporation? Well, you and me. 268 on equal employment opportunity, 100 from whistleblowers. 99 stemming from personal injury, 50 on wrongful termination of employment, 40 on radiation and different types of toxicity, and 524 on other matters. All of these are anti-worker violations. And we, through the Energy Department, gave $330 million to these companies to defend themselves in court. Have we gone nuts? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. David in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm alive and kicking.
I'm a public school teacher and the vice president of my local. And you know what percentage of teachers are a member of our local union? It's like 35%.
Why is that?
I think it's partly like some of them just figure, well, let somebody else be a member. But then there are some that are openly hostile, and it's kind of like a Stockholm syndrome of workers that I guess they want to be like the master. And they think, well, someday I'll be rich or something because that's the American dream. So they identify more with their master than their fellow slaves,
yeah,
to use a metaphor. But
yeah. And it's interesting. There was a study that we talked about on the air last week that found that the United States now is the least economically mobile society in the Western world. Of all the fully developed democracies, you know, the United States, Canada, England, France, Germany, Italy, you go right across the board.
Uh-huh.
In the United States, a person in poverty is less likely to come out of poverty than in any of those other countries.
Yeah.
We have more of a caste system, and our differential between poverty and riches, our rich are richer and our poor are poorer than in any other nation in the world. And this has just been in the last 15 years.
And, you know, but there are people who think, well, you're in the union, you'll negotiate me my contract. I don't have to join and pay my dues. And I tell them, look, when we sit down at the negotiation table and say, we want this, the management says, no, you don't. I'm like, what do you mean? They say, well, where's the other 65%? If they want it, how come they're not members?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so you live in New Mexico must be what's a so-called right-to-work state.
That yeah, it's not what it, fair share. So if you're not a member, you don't get any dues taken out of your paycheck either.
Right.
We don't have the right to strike. Governor Richardson, you know him,
yeah.
Bill Richardson, he's our governor now. He just gave us, collective bargaining. Our last governor let it sunset and wouldn't re-sign it. So people think unions have all this power in America.
Isn't it incredible, David, that the government has to give a union the right for collective bargaining, and yet a corporation doesn't have to go get the right to join a trade association, to create a chamber of commerce, to create a trade association or a lobbying association that's going to go to Washington, D.C. and weasel out, for example, $330 million in taxpayer money to reimburse private contractors for legal bills.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just, you know, our the cons have so thoroughly brainwashed America.
Yeah.
That you know, what was well known in conventional wisdom from 1930 to the 1970s has just been turned on its head. It's
yep.
just incredible.
Yeah.
It's just
well,
incredible.
And you know what I love is when people say that as the union vice president, I protect bad teachers. Well, how about Roger Moore, the guy who lost $1 billion for GM? Did he lose his job the year he lost $1 billion as the head of General Motors? No.
No, he was quite well paid.
And when he retired, what did he get? You know, if a teacher gets fired, that's it. They lose their $35,000 a year crappy salary, excuse my language, and their benefits are gone. Maybe they'll have a little bit of their retirement left, but yeah. It's just unbelievable. Talk about protecting, you know, incompetence.
Yep. David, thanks for sharing that with us. Thanks for the call, and good luck in getting the rest of your fellow teachers to wake up and smell the roses. This really is the time that... you know, we're back around to the time that Ben Franklin talked about, you know, if we don't hang together, we shall all hang separately. We shall surely all hang separately. As Paul Krugman pointed out, Paul was a guest on this program a few months ago, hawking his new book, The Great Unraveling, which I recommend. It's a collection of his columns, although it's been edited and smoothed to work as a book. He has this column on December 30th. Well, that's today. Today's New York Times. Our so-called boom, Paul Krugman. It was a Merry Christmas for Sharper Image and Neiman Marcus, which reported big sales increases over last year's holiday season. It was considerably less cheery at Walmart and other low-priced chains. Turns out, and let me just skip around here in his op-ed piece, the economic recovery is an exclusive party, and most people weren't invited. The real GDP, the gross domestic product, rose at an annual rate of 8.2%, but income from wages rose only 0.65% after inflation, less than 1%. Calculations by the Economic Policy Institute show real wages for most workers flat or falling, even as the economy expands. And so you hear on the news every hour, and you see on TV, the stock market's up to 10,200. The stock market's at 10,240. Yeah, the stock market is going. What does that mean? It means the rich are getting richer. It's the bottom line. You can just boil it down. How come nobody reports the labor news? How come nobody says, you know, average wages in the United States are $8.13, up from $8.11 last month? Why isn't that reported? There are more people in the United States who earn a paycheck for their labor than who earn a dividend check and support themselves off that. I mean, vastly more. The number of people who live on, yeah, sure. A lot of Americans, about half of Americans, have some money in the stock market. The average amount is around $4,000. I really don't think that anybody is going to be living off the $40. You know, on a 1% return, or even a 10% off the $400 a year that they might get if they had really high dividend paying stocks. You know, it's not going to happen. So why is it that when we hear the news, we hear about the income for investors and we don't hear about the income for workers? Could it have to do with the fact that the news now has been taken over by a small handful of very large corporations who are run by people who really do care about what happens with the stock market because that's their income? Could it have to do with the fact that many of our news reporters and commentators, and you know, Rush Limbaugh is probably making more on his stock dividends than he is on, you know, who knows what he is. Certainly enough to buy some more OxyContin. Anyhow, real income from wages rose only 0.6% after inflation. The worst job market in 20 years, Krugman says. So if jobs are scarce and wages are flat, who's benefiting from the economy's expansion? The direct gains are going largely to corporate profits, says Krugman, which rose at an annual rate of more than 40% in the third quarter. And he points out indirectly that means the gains are going to stockholders. But only 8% of corporate taxes were paid by the poorest 60% of families, 67% were paid by the richest 5%, and 49% by the richest 1%. The richest 1% in America paid half of the taxes on income from corporate profits. So there you go. He says, so a recovery that boosts profits, but not wages, delivers the bulk of its benefits to a small, affluent minority. And that's the, you know, that's the state of America. So where do we go from here? What can we do about this? Norman Matloff, a professor of computer science at the University of California, notes that computer programming as an American profession will be gone by 2006. The Commerce Department, this is from his analysis, the Commerce Department says 28% of the programmer jobs during 1996 to 1998 went to H-1Bs, this is, you know, the foreigners coming in on visas, and you know, at that point, it didn't include those ones that are being outsourced. The Federal Reserve Bank gave a 50% figure for 1999, and his rough calculations suggest a figure as high as 90% for 2001. John Pio, COO of the Impact Innovations Group, even estimates a precise date at which the extinction of the American computer programmer will occur, the year 2006. Big business is outsourcing American jobs in droves. Here from Reuters, U.S. corporations are picking up the pace and shifting technology jobs to India, China, and other low-cost centers, but they are keeping quiet for fear of a backlash, industry professionals said. Now, here's the bottom line. Here's how it works. A nation's wealth is defined by aggregating some very specific and relatively definable variables. One is the natural resources the country has. It's why after Spain discovered South America and Central America, and, you know, Pizarro went back, and Columbus, and, you know, all these in today's dollars, billions of dollars worth of gold were extracted. I mean, they found so much gold in the Aztec lands of South and Central America that the Spanish government sent a representative of the king over to supervise the smelting operations. I mean, they didn't even bother with the fact that these were precious artifacts, that they were, all the graves and tombs where most of the gold artifacts were buried with people, they parceled them out as mining stakes, melted this stuff down. The Spanish government charged a 20% tax, and the stuff was shipped back to Spain. In the process, Spain got very wealthy. Same thing with England. They were able to, you know, they were able to basically suck the wealth out of other countries. So a country's wealth is defined in part by its own indigenous natural resources, what it has, how much oil it has, how much gold it has, how much bauxite it has, you know, what its resources are. Number one. Number two, what resources it has access to. When we seized control of Iraq, we got access to the second largest and perhaps the largest single supply of oil on Earth. Certainly one of the most profitable supplies of oil on Earth, because the oil in Iraq bubbles out of the ground, doesn't even have to be pumped out. It's essentially virgin oil, whereas in Saudi Arabia now, they've pumped those wells down to the point where it's costing $5, $6, $7 a barrel to pump it out of the ground. It costs $1.50 a barrel to pump Saudi oil or Iraqi oil. So it's far more profitable for Halliburton and the other oil companies. So it's the assets that the country has, plus its ability to convert those assets or things into things that other countries will buy or will be used, plus the energy supplies that it has, plus the human capital that it has. And we have been overlooking the human capital part of this equation ever since the Reagan Revolution. I mean, prior to that time, there was this very clear idea that every nation does and should trade under some circumstances and not trade under others. This was just absolutely understood. In 1784, Tench Cox in the United States lobbied successfully for the first U.S. tariff law. And the theory basically was that just to take a pair of shoes, you know, if it takes $10 worth of labor to make a pair of shoes in the United States, and you can make a pair of shoes in Malaysia for $1 worth of labor, then you're going to put a $9 tax on that pair of shoes when it's imported into the United States to level the playing field so that our laborers are competing with their laborers on a level playing field, and other variables will determine who gets the shoes and, you know, whether or not they get imported. And that's how it always was. And on the other hand, there were some things that you didn't have tariffs on because you don't grow them here. I mean, you know, we don't have a sandalwood carving industry in the United States. So if you wanted to import carved sandalwood from Thailand, cool, we'll bring it in. But those things that we make here and somebody else makes somewhere else, and the only difference is the fact that their labor is cheaper. We have historically put a tariff in place to balance those costs of labor, to protect our domestic industries. And number one, we need to go back to that. I mean, we blew that. Bill Clinton just completely blew that out of the water when he signed GATT and NAFTA. Although Ronald Reagan had started the death of it. And this is the conservative, spasm. I mean, they're just loving this. Because it is, what has happened is what's best for the nation no longer counts. What's best for the people of the nation no longer counts. What counts is what's best for the large transnational corporations. Many of them we think are American corporations, actually chartered in the Caymans, who give money to the Republicans in huge quantity. That's what counts. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius satellite radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What's in a boom boom? Something good comes along. What's in a boom boom? Everything's not going wrong.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Don't know if you saw yesterday's New York Times front page article about how if you try to unionize in China, the police come and drag you away and put you in prison. And those are the workers that our workers in the United States are expected to compete against. How could that be? How could that be? Well, it's the conservative way, folks. Mike in Humboldt County's on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you, Tom. Nice talking to you. Having to do with your mention of the stock market earlier, there's a dichotomy there, which is rather strange in that the stock market provides the stocks and the corporations that are despicable in most cases.
Actually, a lot of them are doing a lot of good, Mike. I mean, let's cut them some slack.
That's exactly what I was going to say, and it doesn't seem to be brought up enough that mutual funds and so on that are in retirement packages for from teachers to whatnot. It's too bad that it's a good news bad news story.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, actually, you know, the stock market goes up and people's retirement goes up, although a sadly small number of percentage of Americans have any kind of solid retirement. I mean, you look at the number of Americans who are going to have to depend on Social Security, and you look at how Social Security's benefits have eroded since it was first introduced, and it's positively scary.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's very true, but still there are people that do get benefits depending on when their retirement sets in, but it's just, you know, your major point is well taken, and I get it entirely, but it's,
yeah. Well, thank you, Mike. The larger point beyond that that I would make is that, you know, is asking the question, why is it that George Bush thinks it's so important that somebody who earns their living sitting by the pool waiting for their dividend checks to arrive should only pay 15% income tax or pay nothing in income tax, whereas somebody who works for a living should pay both a payroll tax and an income tax, even if their income is below the poverty level? Yeah, you know, I find a conservative who can answer that one. You won't. They, you know, They'll just change the subject so fast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Government plans to put gun-toting sky marshals on board British airliners flew into turbulence when British Airways and the main pilots' union said it would do more harm than good and put passengers at risk. The British government announced Sunday the plainclothes sky marshals traveling incognito among passengers would be placed on British airline flights in response to a heightened state of alert in the United States. In Washington, the U.S. Homeland Security Department said Monday that non-U.S. airlines would be told on a flight-by-flight basis whether to put sky marshals on board as a precondition for entering U.S. airspace. The British Airline Pilots Association said it was never consulted on the measures, the latest in a series introduced in the wake of September 11th attacks in the United States in 2001. Some 28,000 corpses have been pulled out of the rubble and buried after the devastating earthquake in and around Bam in southeastern Iran, state radio reported, quoting local government officials. The previous toll given by officials in Kerman province stood at 25,000 recovered bodies following Friday's quake, which measured 6.7 on the Richter scale. A local government official has estimated that the final toll will top 30,000. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is proposing several changes to the system of monitoring livestock in response to the discovery of mad cow disease in the United States. Kerry's plan, unveiled Sunday, calls for a national tracking system, a sharp increase in the testing of cattle for the disease, and an unspecified level of financial aid to farmers who stand to suffer as a result of the discovery. Kerry said downed animals, those too sick or injured to walk or stand unassisted, that are being tested for the disease should not be processed until the results are known. In the Washington State case, the sick cow was slaughtered and its meat distributed 13 days before preliminary tests confirmed the presence of mad cow disease. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth. And that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Indonesian villagers claim to have captured a python that is almost 50 feet long and weighs over 992 pounds, a local official said Monday. If confirmed, it would be the largest snake ever kept in captivity. Hundreds of people have flocked to see the snake at a primitive zoo on the country's main island of Java. The local newspaper, Republica, said the snake, which was caught last year but only recently put on public display, eats three or four dogs a month. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this six-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears home improvement centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Understanding and counteracting violence as a way to peace. This is an interesting concept. There was a process that a fellow by the name of Richard Rhodes came up with. He wrote a book called Why They Kill, The Discoveries of a Maverick Criminologist. And he discovered that there are four distinct stages that an individual has to go through before they can become a violent criminal. And, you know, studying and analyzing violent criminals in prisons and jails and things, and, you know, what is it that turned these people from normal folks, from folks like you or me, or even, you know whatever their background may be, you know, people who, victims of violence or not, into violent criminals. offenders. And he identified this four-step process. He said the first step is brutalization. Brutalization occurs when a young person is forced by violence or the threat of violence to submit to an aggressive authority figure, he or she witnesses the violent subjugation of others. The authority figure coaches him or her to use violence to settle disputes. So being exposed to violence, like watching Bruce Willis movies or Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies, or being exposed to violence in the real world as a means of conflict resolution, Saddam Hussein saying, "Yeah, sure, come on in. You can bring in your inspectors," and we say, "Hey, so what? We don't care. We're going to go in and kill 20,000 civilians anyway." Being a witness to brutality is the first step, if not experiencing it yourself. But that's not enough. The second step is belligerency. This is where a person tries to resolve their situation, tries to prevent further violence, and is unsuccessful at doing so. And I think that a lot of the people who protested against the war in Iraq were, when the war started, probably passing very quickly through this stage of belligerency. The third stage is called violent performance. The third stage is violent performance, where a young person's violent response to provocation succeeds, and he or she reads respect and fear in the eyes of others. Now, this is where I think a lot of Americans are vicariously experiencing this. You know, hey, look at that. Our guys the bombings, the shock and awe. Hey, you know, we're cool. We're big. We're tough. Our testosterone-driven president. And it allows us to accept violence as just, that's the way the world is. And then the fourth stage happens when the young person determines from now on to utilize serious violence as a means of dealing with people, and then forms bonds with other people who think the same way. And I find this particularly fascinating. I think back to, some of the biographies of George W. Bush about how, as a child, he used to put firecrackers and frogs and throw them up in the air to watch them explode. And the way that when he executed Carla Faye Tucker in Texas, he imitated her to the Time magazine reporter, rubbed his hands together, wringing his hands like she did, and said, "Please save me, Mr. Governor, please save me." And he laughed and bragged about, on numerous occasions, being the governor who had executed more human beings than any governor in the history of the United States. And has surrounded himself with the possible singular exception, ironically, of the former general Colin Powell, surrounded himself with people who have, almost all of them were not involved in the Vietnam War, the Chicken Hawks, surrounded himself with these people who see violence as the way to resolve things. Violence is the way to fix things. And then, I see this process happening also with the terror alerts. You could say that the brutalization was 9/11. Okay, we saw that video played over and over and over and over. And then, our belligerency, the second stage, trying to do something about it. The violent performance, number three, watching us go into Afghanistan and then into Iraq. And then the virulency, the contagion of it. And it makes you wonder if America is being conditioned to be a more violent society by these folks. And then you see some of the evidence of it. Hundreds of videotapes that federal prison officials had claimed were destroyed. This is an article by Dan Egan in the Washington Post back on December 19th. Tapes show abuses of 9/11 detainees. Hundreds of videotapes the federal prison officials had claimed were destroyed showed the foreign nationals held at a New York detention facility after 9/11 were victims of physical and verbal abuse by guards, the Justice Department's Director in General said yesterday. They also found that officials at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, which is run by the U.S. Bureau of Prisons, improperly taped meetings between detainees and their lawyers and used excessive strip searches and restraints to punish people in confinement. You know, the brutality, increasing brutality being shown by those who have low-level authority, but authority nonetheless. This report concluded that as many as 20 guards were involved in the abuse, which included slamming prisoners against walls and painfully twisting their arms and hands. Fine recommended discipline for 10 employees, counseling for two others who remain employed by the federal prison system, and said the government should notify the employers of four former guards about their conduct. So it's like, you know, the government itself is saying, hey, we have a problem here with brutality within our prison systems. This is... You know, I don't have a whole hour on this. This isn't a huge topic, but actually it is. It's just that not much has been written about it. Not many people have been talking about what is happening to American society. What, you know, how have we changed as a consequence of 9/11? Hey, John, I see Phil and Tampa on the screen. Is Phil holding? Okay, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Phil in Tampa, Florida is on the line. Hey, Phil, I'm sorry I didn't see you there earlier. I was off on my rant.
That's okay. The fellow, I called earlier in the week and talked to, and a couple other people followed me in conversation related to a guest on C-SPAN.
Right.
And I found out what his name was. It's Max Boot, Herr Boot.
Yeah.
And he's on the Council for Foreign Relations.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is the guy who says we need to be the world's policeman and to invade other countries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Ann Coulter saying what we need to do with the Arab countries is invade their countries, kill their leaders, and convert them to Christianity. I mean, and said, you know, with a straight face.
Yeah, what's interesting about Ann Coulter is and someone's going to do it as high profile, is get her out of the closet. Her lover is the ex-head of now in Los Angeles, Tammy Bruce.
Yeah, but how does that make her anything other than just
But she's a hypocrite because she was okay. She was very critical of the Texas decision, the sodomy Texas decision law. She was extremely, and she's a lesbian. But
yeah.
In any event, this guy also got on CNN last night at about 6:15. This guy is as much of a neo-fascist as anybody I've ever seen on television, and he's getting invited into the into the mainstream media.
Yeah,
Max,
well,
Boot.
Yeah, Max Boot, like Das Boot. And this is the thing that amazes me is, you know, the other day I forget which show it was I was watching, but they were interviewing two guys about, you know, one of these issues that had to do with Iraq. And who was it? It was two different generals. It's like, hey, we're going to get really diverse opinions here. And they kept saying, well, I agree with General so-and-so, and I agree with the other general. Yeah, he said something right. And it's like, you know, where is the diversity?
Well, there isn't any.
Look,
on Chris Matthews last night, they had the British guy who writes for Vanity Fair. What's his name again?
I'm not sure which one you're speaking of.
Anyway, he was saying, you know, that for Dean to come out and talk about the possibility that Saudi Arabia had warned Bush about the attack on 9/11, and you know, and Bush sat on his hands on the thing, and he was very critical. He said it's preposterous, it's ridiculous for Bush to have. I mean, it, you know, and this is a guy who wrote a book, which was a 300-page hit piece on Mother Teresa.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that we now know that George Bush did know that 9/11 was going to happen before it happened. He didn't necessarily know it was going to be flight number 93 at the World Trade Center or whatever it was.
Right.
But he knew that sometime in that period of time, Al-Qaeda was going to hijack airplanes and run them into buildings in New York and Washington, D.C., and that's why John Ashcroft stopped flying on commercial airplanes. And this has been admitted by the White House. The other thing is that amazes me, Phil, is this concerted effort to attack Howard Dean. Yesterday on Crossfire, even James Carville was attacking him. I mean, Paul Begala's been on him. Howard Dean has made two mistakes. Number one, he made the mistake of saying that he wants to shake up the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., and Terry McAuliffe is quaking in his boots, and Hillary Clinton is thinking that she's not going to run in 2008 if Dean gets the nomination and changes the party in any significant way, because she has control of the party to a large extent. And I know I'm agreeing with the right-wing wackos on this, but it's becoming so obvious to me, painfully obvious. And secondly, the other day on one of these shows, I think it was on Chris Matthews, the interview with Chris Matthews, Chris said, would you break up the media monopolies? In fact, it was. And Dean said, yes, absolutely. It would be one of the first things I'd do is break up the media monopolies. We need to have more local media in America. And ever since then, ever since then, I haven't seen a good word said about Howard Dean in our media.
Well, on the positive side, if you do a search on Google for for famous psychics, and you go to their webpage, you go to every psychic's webpage, and you go to their predictions. Not one is predicting that George Bush is going to win election in November of 2004. Not one.
Oh, that's
one.
Interesting.
We did that. I spent a couple hours doing that.
You know, I think that there's a reasonably good chance he will, but I don't think that it'll be because of what everybody is thinking. I think, number one, there's a good chance that sometime this fall there's going to be another attack of some kind somewhere, or we'll decide to declare war on another country. And or number two, he's going to replace Dick Cheney with Rudy Giuliani, either one of which will get in quite a bounce. But we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, Phil, from your lips to God's ears. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more talk radio for the rest of us.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried. Doug.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network, the true people's radio. We've got this digression, this attack on Iraq. We know that back in 1998, Wolfowitz and Pearl and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Jeb Bush all signed this document for the Project for a New American Century, encouraging Bill Clinton to attack Iraq and take Saddam Hussein's oil. And we know that in April of 2001, Dick Cheney had a secret energy meeting in which we don't know who the companies are. We do know that Ken Lay was involved. And in which he divided up the country of Iraq and decided, you know, which oil companies and which nations would be the most interested in which of the oil fields located in Iraq and how that would happen. So we got that stuff figured out. And, you know, it's quite clear that the war against Iraq, Bush's war in Iraq, has nothing to do with the war on terrorism. You've got two different things going on here at the same time. And like a magician who says, look at my right hand while his left hand is doing the trick, they're trying to morph them into one. But I think it's pretty important that we keep our eyes on the real trick. You know, what's really going on. Which is that Al-Qaeda, who apparently attacked us, Howard Dean made the misstatement. Well, you know, somebody said, what should happen to Osama? And he said, well, you know, they should be decided in a court of law. That wasn't, you know, that created hysteria among the political pundits. So he then later in the day said, well, I support the death penalty for him, too. But, you know, forgive me, but I tend to agree that the rule of law should be the first thing we hold up, regardless of how vile somebody is. But in any case, the point is that we have this war in Iraq, and yet at the same time, we have pulled all these resources away from Al-Qaeda. It's just like, you know, the first year of the Bush administration after Sandy Berger briefed Condoleezza Rice Bill Clinton briefed George W. Bush and told them, you got to look out for Saddam Hussein, or for Osama bin Laden. Excuse me, see, now I'm doing it. You got to look out for Osama bin Laden. He's coming to get us. He has attacked us a number of times. He's very upset because we still have troops on Saudi soil, and he considers that defaming Saudi Arabia. And he's very upset because we are supporting a Saudi dictatorship, which he doesn't consider to be sufficiently religious. And he's going to come after us. And Bush instead devoted the first year of his administration to helping corporations get more power, to cut, you know, gutting clean air regulations, to working on his first round of tax cuts, the 2001 tax cuts, instead of paying attention to al-Qaeda. And we need to be focusing on al-Qaeda again. So I think the status of al-Qaeda is something that is worth visiting. And there's a few points here that are just, you know, worth revisiting, just to keep on our radar screen. I'll give you one, and then we'll get into the rest of them right after the break. Number one, al-Qaeda is more difficult to locate and fight than it was 2 years ago. The global terror network has fragmented into smaller cells. They've scattered themselves among Indonesia, Iraq, Turkey, Saudi Arabia. They've joined forces with like-minded Islamist groups in Indonesia, Chechnya, the Philippines, and the Yemen. And they're promoting calls for universal jihad. Al-Qaeda has become more dangerous in some ways because it has been splintered. And in splintering, it is now infecting all these other Islamic groups around the world. Very dangerous thing. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Renee Scarponi, Affiliate Relations Specialist for IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
When will a plant become a weed or an animal turn into a pest? There are no obvious answers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Controlling invasive plants and animals costs the United States billions of dollars each year. Many of these species were intentionally imported and have run wild, damaging ecosystems, agriculture, and business. Government regulators and importers want a checklist of traits that make a species harmful, but University of Tennessee biologist Daniel Simberloff says it's not that simple.
The industries that like to bring in introduced species, like the horticulture trade, parts of agriculture, the pet trade, and the federal regulatory agencies that deal with these, USDA and now Department of Homeland Security and some others, would like to have these cut and dried rules, a checklist. The species has the following traits, A, B, C, and D. We don't let it in. Anything else, we do let in. So they would like these very simple discriminatory tools in order to make their decisions. But unfortunately, the science shows that this approach will not be very good.
Simberloff says problem species are hard to predict. For example, one type of imported pine tree can spread and crowd out indigenous trees in a forest, while another imported pine might not be able to compete with native varieties or conditions. And Simberloff says introduced species can have different impacts under different circumstances. Ecosystems that are greatly disturbed, like farmlands, are more prone to invasive species. However, even pristine forests can be invaded by non-native plants and animals. Simberloff says the proposed import of any new plant or animal must be studied and regulated on a case-by-case basis. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
And welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Going through, looking at some of the status of Al-Qaeda, as it were, and the status of our government's efforts to do something about it. By the way, if you have thoughts or comments on this, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. On this or any other topic, it's sort of the end of the afternoon here. Al-Qaeda is adopting more creative and lethal methods. This list, by the way, from the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, an excellent summary. Al-Qaeda is adopting more creative and lethal methods. Experts believe the group is adapting new ways of using airplanes, commercially available chemicals, fertilizers, and liquid nitrogen gas as new weapons. According to a new United Nations report, Al-Qaeda possesses surface-to-air missiles for use against aircraft and is working toward a biological or chemical weapons attack. And apparently, Libya has been supplying them with some of these things, and one of the reasons that we just went into this orange alert is because Libya just came around and told us what they've given Al-Qaeda, and now all of a sudden we are very worried that they are going to use this stuff. If only they would tell us what it was. Anyhow, new terrorist camps sponsored by Al-Qaeda are being established. Last week, the Washington Post reported that Abu Sayyaf militants linked to Al-Qaeda have continued to train militants in the southern Philippines. Abu Sayyaf chieftain Gaddafi Janjali remains at large, according to Indonesian intelligence sources. Members of the terrorist group continue to train their ranks in Mindanao, with a reported $50,000 monthly allowance from Al-Qaeda. Now, experts also believe that new bases have been established in Yemen, Somalia, the Bangladesh-Myanmar or Burma border, and the Pankisi Valley between Georgia and Chechnya. So these guys are reaching out. Their influence is expanding. Their power is expanding. They're continuing to take advantage of porous borders all around the world, including Afghanistan and Iraq. Although we haven't seen yet any serious evidence of Al-Qaeda even being present in Iraq. It appears that the insurgency is more of the homegrown variety. You can bet your bottom dollar that if this administration had captured any Al-Qaeda operatives in Iraq, they would be parading them around on the evening news. And they'll probably come up with one sooner or later. And everybody will go, aha, I knew it! Saddam was behind 9/11. There's the guy to prove it. But so far, you know, we haven't seen this, although they are very actively moving back into Afghanistan, cutting deals with the tribal warlords. If Osama bin Laden is still alive, my personal guess is he's not. But if he is still alive, he apparently is hanging out on the border with Pakistan, probably in Pakistan. That part of Pakistan that borders Afghanistan is very tribal and very opaque. It's very difficult for anybody from the outside to get in and get anything, learn anything, understand. You know, I mean, it's really quite remarkable how you get into some of these parts of the world, and it's beyond visiting another country. It's almost like something in a science fiction novel. It's almost like something out of Star Trek. I mean, the culture is so complete, so whole, and has, you know, they with their own conventions and their own language and their own systems of honor. And, you know, if you show somebody the bottom of your foot, it means this. And if you, you know, it's a, and, you know, hand gesture, all these things that, I mean, we have them in our culture as well. You walk up to somebody and give them a particular hand gesture, and you may get a particular response. Well, an entirely different thing may provoke that response in some other part of the world. But here, in these regions of Pakistan and Afghanistan, on top of all that, on top of all the cultural differences, which make it difficult to penetrate the area with intelligence, with human intelligence, with spies, you have these strong blood relations. These tribal chieftains and these tribes, these very, very strong blood relationships. So they're taking advantage of the porous borders. The Al-Qaeda has managed to maintain its financial architecture. They have a number of charities and relief organizations around the world that are still raising millions of dollars, including from the American public, according to several different recent reports. In fact, the United Nations recently warned that those Al-Qaeda-related organizations continue to operate all across the globe. Osama bin Laden continues to incite followers through pronouncements on television and radio. Since the 9/11 attacks, there have been 8 audio and videotapes with messages attributed to bin Laden. According to German intelligence, 70,000 people went through Al-Qaeda's Afghan training camps. Now, where are those folks? Where are those 70,000 people? And then we have just thrown to them this propaganda bonanza by our invasion of Iraq, because they're saying, look at this. This is a, you know, Iraq didn't have anything to do with 9/11. They weren't threatening the United States. They were letting the inspectors in. They were doing everything the United Nations told them to do, and they were, at least, you know, in the last 6 months. And they attacked them anyway. It's because they hate Arabs. That's what the Muslim, or because they hate Muslims. That's what the Al-Qaeda recruiters are saying. And so now you see kids in the Philippines walking around with Osama bin Laden on their T-shirts. And this administration has so thoroughly bumbled the so-called war on terror by introducing into it a war on, you know, oil-rich Arab nation, Iraq. 71% of Palestinians say that they have confidence in bin Laden to, quote, do the right thing regarding world affairs. In Morocco and Pakistan, 50%. The same in Indonesia and Jordan. Osama bin Laden is more highly regarded than any American leader, or pretty much anybody else. The continued presence of U.S. troops in Iraq is serving as a major recruiting tool, points out the American Progress, Center for American Progress. According to the International Institute for Strategic Studies, the war in Iraq has swelled al-Qaeda's ranks and galvanized the group's will. It has also inflamed radical passions among Muslims and thus increased al-Qaeda's recruiting power and morale and its operating capability. So here we have, you know, while Nero fiddles, Rome is burning. And then on top of this, we get the Pentagon. This is, you know, the cost of the war in Iraq in very real terms. And these are the things that you don't hear so much about on the radio or on television, certainly on the corporate media. And the only candidates really speaking out about these things were Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean, and Kucinich now has a media blackout on him, and Howard Dean has a media attack on him. And here, just, you know, 2 days before Christmas, this report came out. The Pentagon, these are summaries from the working papers, Iraq status. This is an unclassified Defense Department report. So this is the Defense Department reporting on itself. Security forces, The report says that the Coalition Provisional Authority, the CPA, that's us. You know, it's like our guys in Iraq who are holding the fort, is fully 50% short of its current goal of training and staffing the critical Iraqi Border Police Service. Some 12,600 out of a goal of 27,500 trained officers are online, with only 100 in training. We have half as many border police in Iraq as we ourselves projected we need. And, you know, we're 12,600 short, and we have 100 in training. This fact, taken together with reports of defections from the first trained units of the new Iraqi army and difficulties in recruiting soldiers, reinforces the view of Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers, who has said that July 1st was too optimistic a date for Iraqis to, quote, be able to provide for the external and internal security of the country, end quote. General Ricardo Sanchez has similarly remarked that American forces will be in Iraq for a couple more years. So we've got the top generals saying, you know, we're going to be there for a long time. And you got George Bush saying, but hey, wait a minute, if I'm going to get elected in November, then I've got to be able to say that we actually brought democracy to Iraq, which means that we can't have the CPA running it anymore. We got to have Iraqis running Iraq. And it can't just happen, you know, on September 9th or October 10th or November 1st. It's, you know, it's, if it's that close to the election, it'll be conspicuous. So it's got to happen by July 1st. We've got to have this transition. And all the military guys are saying, no, it's not going to work. And are we setting ourselves up for a disaster? It'd be interesting to see how this plays out. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And David in San Francisco is on the line. Hey, David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Notice that with this new mad cow disease, we can always thank Reagan for it. The whole idea of his privatizing the meat inspectors, we can just thank old Ronald Reagan. You've got to wonder now if he isn't subject now to mad cow and he doesn't really have Alzheimer's.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Funny, I think Creutzfeldt Jakob, though, kills much more rapidly than does Alzheimer's.
Well, I guess you're right, yeah. Although, you know, it's hard to say whether he really had Alzheimer's or he's still hiding out for Iran-Contra. That was always the suspicion. He needed a plausible deniability.
No, he was really gone. Actually, a friend of mine was the court reporter who deposed him during the last year of his presidency in the Iran-Contra thing, where he 134 times said, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that there's nobody home. She said it was really scary because he just, like, not only was he wasn't trying to be evasive, He didn't remember things that had been said to him 5 minutes earlier, and he was still president of the United States at the time. So
wow.
George Bush was running the country.
No kidding. Yeah. Hey, one other thing, and that was that we've got on C-SPAN right this minute. They're running the Department of State press briefing. They didn't have anything to bring up, so they got right away to questions. Someone asked him anything new on Iran. The Bush administration didn't do anything about condolences, didn't say a single word about the earthquake, and God knows how many people have died over there, got right away into whether or not weapons inspection are on the table, whether that's progressing, whether we're going to go kill them, stomp them while they're down. So it's kind of interesting. You know, this is the callousness. Christmas is over. No more of this good cheer. Let's get right back to death and destruction. So,
well, that's that virulence of brutality. I think there's something very real to that. During the break, Louise came in and said, you know, it kind of sounds like you're just picking on George W. But I think that it's larger than that. I think that this is an issue that it's not healthy for us. I think we have some not healthy people in the leadership of this administration, and that it's not healthy for the nation to keep people in terror with these terror alerts and these orange alerts and Tom Ridge, you know, and, oh, my God, we know something, but we can't tell you what it is. Therefore, get worried, but don't do anything except go shopping.
Right.
And
well, this is the fear industry. These people have specifically, Have you ever read, Richard Condon wrote the book Manchurian Candidate. He also wrote an early one called An Infinity of Mirrors. And it's a great book about the black market and what Paris was like when it was being occupied by the Germans in World War II. And there was a specific fear industry. And there were people who specifically profiteered by the various methods of keeping everybody in subjugation. Not just the prison guards, but the black market was specifically, there may be plenty of turnips, but by God, the price of turnips went up 70-fold. And it's very interesting. If you look at the economics as described through that book, and you look at where Bush and his buddies are all invested, they are specifically invested in fear, and as anybody who's invested in anything, they will not back out unless they see that the market's dropped out. So you either have to have peace and joy reign so much that the fear industry cannot move forward, or they're going to keep making their dough. So it's, in some ways, the whole maxims of Jesus and the philosophers of nonviolent resistance have got to come into play, or you specifically have to find ways, and Infinity of Mirrors shows how Paris went through the first year and the second year and a variety of different, almost month by month in some ways, how people had to put up with this garbage, how they got used to it, and how they moved forward while it was in its full flower. So I find that very interesting, for the American public to, put that on your reading list and find some way of getting through these horror times where these people are profiteering from the fear.
Well, and I think the other solution is for people to wake up to what's really going on and not be paralyzed by the fear, but to get politically active. I mean, Frederick Douglass, our quote for the day, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither persons nor property will be safe. And you could say that about subcultures, you could say that about communities, you could say that about states, you could say it about nations, and you can say it about the world. And I think this is what we're seeing writ large in the world right now with our situation with regard to Al-Qaeda and other terrorists around the world. I mean, it just right across the board. David, thank you for your call. I appreciate your comments, and I'll look for an infinity of mirrors. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. Democrats. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, ah, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Ah, this is so much fun, spin me around again.
Iran!
Oh, I love this game! Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Molloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tell me you love facts real straight. Don't make me over. Rebel in glory. For one Irish woman.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, the organic, which is smalldog.com, the organic wine company, ecowine.com, and the Newsletter Factory, newsletterfactory.com. Please patronize our sponsors if you have need for any of their services or products. I'd like to thank John Lucas for running the board today in Detroit, and Louise Hartman here for in Vermont for engineering the program, Brad Walrod for editing some of our music, and the special thank you to the folks in our chat room who showed up and made their many contributions, many valuable contributions to the program and the quality of the program as it runs on. Back in the situation in Iraq, Iraq is running low of fuel. We've hit more or less about 50%. The Coalition Provisional Authority has only hit about 50%, more or less, of its goals for Iraq. 54% of target on liquid petroleum gas, 45%. Kerosene, 45%. Gasoline, 64%. Averages 54%. On energy, we're producing 3,500 megawatts, and our goal was 5,000 megawatts. So the country still has blackouts and brownouts and all these sorts of things. And with regard to phone connections, the Iraqis actually put together a pretty good phone system, a wireless phone system, and then we came in and said, no, you can't do that. We awarded that contract to another company. And so they had to take down the system that was being put together and actually was working by local Iraqis. But the foreign company that was supposed to come in and do it has only been kind of half-heartedly or half-well doing it. And with regard to education, the Department of Defense reports that 1,812 schools out of 11,939, it's roughly 2,000 out of roughly 12,000, were damaged in some way by the war, and only 1,800 of them have been rehabilitated. Sorry, out of 11,939 who were damaged, only 1,800 have been rehabilitated. And the Atlanta Constitution Journal reports that one frustrated American, Major Linda Scharf, a civil affairs officer, ordered a survey of 20 Bechtel-repaired schools in her area. She found dangerous debris left in playgrounds, sloppy paint jobs, and broken toilets. The work was horrible, she said. So we've got a long way to go. We're still behind. But let's hope that we can see some real leadership coming on board in November of 2004. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.